San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. Happy holidays. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios in Kearny Mesa with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, Riverside County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a philanthropist. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He does everything. He's a family office expert to several high net worth families. You can find him and his information on iymoney.com. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. Happy holidays to everybody. Getting ready for Christmas in a couple of days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Happy Hanukkah might be already passed by this time, isn't it?
I don't have the calendar with me.
Yeah.
I always lose track of time over the holidays.
But happy Hanukkah, happy whatever holiday you are enjoying and celebrating. So, but how was your week, Richard? Pretty good?
No complaints. Good. Too many holiday parties.
I'll tell you, I've had to pace myself. It's always. I think Americans put on weight every between Thanksgiving and Christmas every year. Don't you think?
I'm trying not to. I've been doing a lot of extra running, but the spotty weather hasn't helped.
Yeah. But, well, you run quite a bit. How many miles a week, by the way?
Well, I'm doing about 30 miles a week right now.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's 30 more than
I do. That way I can eat at holiday parties instead of just staring at the food.
Well, I'm going to, now we talked about it last week, forks over knives, and I'm going to
Your New Year's resolution, Joe, is what?
Well, I'm going to make a concerted effort to eat a more plant-based diet, and I mean, when you hear that doctor say that we can reduce our healthcare costs by 70 to 80% just by switching over to that, so... anything that wiggles or moves or has eyes or a mother or father, you shouldn't be eating according to one doctor. So, but anyway, hey, we have got a tremendous show tonight lined up, and I've been trying to set this up for many, many months. Our guest, full disclosure, he's a longtime friend of mine, and he served on the San Diego Superior Court bench for 28 years. He's an author. He's a lawyer before he was practicing, and he's a lawyer now, and his name is Judge Robert C. Coates. So, Bob, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm just great, Joe. Glad to be here.
Yeah. This guy's terrific. Eagle Scout, Rotarian, on and on and on. But why don't we just start at the beginning, Bob? You said you were born in Torrance and then moved here when you were three. Is that correct?
Exactly. I remember the beach community of Manhattan Beach so well.
Uh-huh.
And we moved, eventually lived in, and I was raised in Pacific Beach.
Uh-huh. Wow. And, of course, you also, I forgot to mention, you're a tireless advocate for the homeless, and your other big passion is environmental issues, climate change, global warming, and what we can do to address those. Is that about it, would you say, correct?
I'll go with those.
Well, good. We can talk about those tonight.
So PB went to grade school, high school, where?
La Jolla.
Wow. La Jolla Elementary and La Jolla High?
PB Elementary, Junior High, and La Jolla High.
Were you there?
There was no Mission Bay High at that time.
That's right. There was no Mission Bay High.
Wow. Were you there when Raquel Welch was there?
I was. Raquel was 4 years behind me.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
So I happen to know Raquel's age.
Wow. You're the only one. You and she. So, but... were people talking about how, attractive she was even in those days?
Oh, she was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was beautiful and arch,
mm-hmm.
and unapproachable a little bit.
Oh,
although
really?
I used to go camping with her husband, Jim Wells.
Really? Well, I think her highlight was making 1 million BC when she had no dialogue, so that might have been the high point of her. I don't know. She's done any good movies.
She's a smart person. She's a terrific lady.
What movies has she done? I don't know. Nothing comes to mind right now other than 1 million BC, which I
don't remember. That's before my time, Joe.
Anyway, so Judge Coates, La Jolla High, then on to where? Let's go right through it.
On to San Diego State.
San Diego State.
Played baseball out there as I did at La Jolla High. And
what position did you play?
Third base.
Okay, I'm an old pitcher.
You know, we had Nathan Fletcher on. He was a catcher. You're third base. Maybe by the end of the year, we'll have a
We'll have the It's Your Money, Not Your Life baseball team.
We'll get George Mitrovich on. I know he's an enthusiast. He still plays.
George still plays.
Yeah. He's still playing hardball.
Yeah. I'm still playing hardball.
Yeah. Are you really, Richard?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
Although I missed last season because of training for the Boston Marathon.
Anyway. where you lost 11 pounds on the hottest April 16th, whatever it was, of the...
In the history of Boston, yeah, I know.
But more on that later. But so San Diego State grad, and then where'd you go to law school, Bob?
I had a degree in engineering geology, and so I went to work for the city as an engineer, and then I eventually was on the city manager staff for a couple of years, and then I ran for the legislature. And when I lost, I had noticed that I needed a legal education to understand political life.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to law school at Cal Western Law School.
Hmm. Excellent, excellent. And then I practiced law for how many years?
12 years.
Gotcha. Now you got a great story. You were mostly criminal defense. Is that correct?
Well, I did criminal defense, and I think it was my practice was divided between criminal defense, injury law with an emphasis on mental disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and then because I was a geologist, people started coming to me with mining problems. So pretty soon I was a mining lawyer.
Huh. I thought you were going in the direction of people having rocks in their head or something with the mental, but anyway. So, but you've got a great story where you defended a defendant accused of murder, and you were going through a particular personal hardship at the time. I guess one of your marriage was going on the rocks itself, and you were making these closing arguments. You want to tell this story? Because I think it's a great story.
Okay, I'll try to keep it brief, Joe. But I was representing a young man charged with murder, and he was 17 and a half years old, and this was at a time when the juvenile court could keep such a case and consider the person to be a juvenile, whereas today that kind of person is automatically tried in adult court.
Okay.
But I had a right to a hearing in juvenile court to determine whether he should be handled as a juvenile, and it was a series of very difficult hurdles to jump. And so just at that moment... I was engaged to the eventual mother of my children,
mm-hmm.
and 2 days before the hearing, she announced that her mother had showed up, and her mother concluded that this was not it. So my intended departed and went back to San Francisco, and so I was brokenhearted. So here I am handling this 3-day hearing in juvenile court. So I had, and I was doing something kind of interesting. I had a very prominent psychiatrist. He's still in town, Haig Kashkarian, wonderful man. And when he interviewed my client and then I met with him, he said, "Bob, listen, you need me to conclude X."
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot honestly do that. I can conclude X minus one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Terrific, we'll put you on." And I put him on, and I had him conclude X minus one, and then I put on other witnesses to impeach his conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge bought it.
Hmm.
But the judge partly bought it, I believe, because during all of this, I was crying. I was weeping through this whole thing and just kind of plodding through the testimony, and nobody knew why I was weeping.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very sad case. The victim was a hospital employee with two young kids and a mm-hmm. pregnant wife, and it was just an awful, awful circumstance.
But then you told me the jury was crying, the judge, you had the whole courtroom crying along with you, right?
Well, the probation officer started crying, and then Mike Ebert, I hope Mike's listening here today, the deputy DA, he starts crying. And then the judge starts crying. And I just played it straight out. Mm-hmm. And by golly, we won.
Well, that's a great way to conclude our first segment there. But we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after these announcements. All All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life with Richard Musio and our guest, Judge Robert C. Coates of the Superior Court, 28 years on the bench. And welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, Joe. Let me wipe the tears from my eyes so we can continue.
And there's a footnote there, Bob. Well, we can laugh now, but I'm sure it was tearing you up emotionally at the time, right, Bob?
Oh, it certainly was, yeah. But the good footnote is that the lady who departed came back pretty soon.
Ah, that's good. That's good. So it all.
I pursued her.
Yes, it all worked out. In the
I adored
end.
Her.
Yes, you did. Anyway, all right, so practiced criminal law or law for 12 years, and then how did you get onto the bench? How does that give us the machinations?
Well, you know, there's an old saying that a judge is a lawyer who knew a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of my practice, I was had become kind of a leader in the San Diego trial lawyers and the statewide trial lawyers. I was on the executive board. And I was teaching at USD Law School. I was publishing articles all the time.
You became a friend of Roger Revelle, right? Weren't you friends with him? He came to your class?
You know, I actually had Roger come over to my environmental law class, and that was just a stunning high point.
It had to be in, what, the 60s or 50s?
That was, when was it? 81.
Oh, 81, okay.
Yeah.
So he had already he served in the 50s, I think, as director, right? So he was former director at the time.
Well, he went to Yale for a while, right. And that's where he met Al Gore.
Yeah, was he a chancellor at UCSD, or wasn't he the?
No, but he was the founder of UCSD.
Right. Yeah, but anyway, big guy, wasn't he? Like six something.
Yeah, he was a huge guy. Yeah. One of my buddies, Gary Huffbauer, married Roger's daughter Caroline.
Huh.
And so I found myself over at the Revelle household from time to time when I was a kid.
Huh.
And what a privilege. My son now is a PhD candidate at Scripps Institution.
That's right.
Oh, neat.
Yes, hello to Cameron, by the way. So he's doing some great work up there. So
yeah.
But anyway, the way you got onto the bench, let's backtrack. So how did that work? Did you pursue
Okay, it? So I was beginning to kind of... some of it was deliberate. I was beginning to try kind of look like a judge, you know, with all these different activities. And and then I was about to be a father. And here I was working 75 hours a week. And certainly occurred to me that this was not going to work. And I had discovered that if I backed off to 50 hours a week, I could barely support my office, much less me.
Hmm.
So I began looking around for a cushy job. So I snuck onto the bench.
Who was governor at the time?
Jerry Brown.
So judges also have to run for. Do they get appointed first and then run after?
That's mostly the case. Although some of our best judges ran for vacant seats,
mm-hmm.
and were elected.
Gotcha. But initially you're appointed, then how many years do you serve before you...
You serve 6 years, and then you have lawyers who have been lawyers for 10 years have an opportunity to run against you if mm-hmm. they pay a filing fee of about $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that happen 3 or 4 times, and then I did have a guy run against me one time. And by this time... you know, it was clear to me that this was my last campaign for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids had never gotten to see me run for office.
Hmm.
And so I decided I am going to have a grand time. And I am going to show my kids how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had one whale of a great time campaigning. I shook hands in Costco. I did all the campaign things.
Uh-huh. You must have won resoundingly, right? I'll bet.
I got 70% of the vote.
Wow, that's resounding.
Yeah.
Excellent. So anyway, you had a colorful career on the bench, served in many different courts, right? I mean, you were domestic violence, you were in all kinds of different courts, right?
I served in every division of the Superior Court except probate.
Yeah, so why don't we run through those divisions for people who don't...
Oh my goodness, don't be tedious.
Well, just a few of them. Yeah.
Well, family law.
Right.
And juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
And I handled lengthy civil jury trials for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I presided over the municipal court's civil division for 4 years, and I handled jury trials on the criminal division for many years.
Yeah. And then wasn't there some homeless courts, some new courts developed?
Well,
there?
You know, we have all those boutique courts, mm-hmm. a homeless court, mental health court. But I and the veteran stand down, mm-hmm. I very studiedly stepped away from those. I wanted my colleagues to get involved in those. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be the only person who had an interest in homelessness and knowledge about homelessness.
Yeah.
And so Rob Trentacosta stepped forward. Mm-hmm. Tim Tower stepped forward. Ron Domnett stepped forward.
These are all colleagues of yours on the court, on the bench, right?
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And then, well, how did you get, actually, the way I knew of you before I actually met you many years ago, because in the 80s, I think one of our crosstown stations, the news channels, did a report. They put an unmarked van with a hidden camera in there, and they did a report on the homeless, and I believe you spent at least a night on the streets, right? You disguised yourself as a homeless person and got to live the lifestyle.
We had a group from the Mayor's Task Force on the Homeless, which we organized in 1984. And there were two religious guys on the task force, Monsignor Reagan and Reverend Dick Shaner, mm-hmm. began talking about, let's go out and pretend we're homeless for a weekend. And I thought, oh my God, what a crazy stunt. But then later, I began to see that here we were passing on great ideas without any knowledge of the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so 12 of us went out and pretended we were homeless for most of a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we planned it out so that we would cover different areas and different time zones, and so that we could then create a pretty good report.
Mm-hmm. Is that what and then you wrote your book, A Street Is Not a Home. Was it generated from that experience? Or
it was partly generated from that, but it was mainly containing the best solutions that we found around the country that had popped up since homelessness began in the mid-70s.
You know, we're now the number 3 city in the country for homeless, but we're behind we're fast-growing population of homeless. I think it's about 10,000 now. Only Los Angeles and I think New York are ahead of us.
You know, I'm more interested, Joe, in the fact that that we're probably in the top 10 in dealing with homelessness.
That's good.
We're behind Seattle, Atlanta, and Philadelphia.
Well, what were some of those solutions that you concluded in your book that would be?
Well, housing is the mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the 3 causes of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of housing and lack of housing.
Yeah.
Different kinds of housing.
Yeah.
And of course, mental health care along with that.
Yeah. The veterans. I mean, a homeless vet should be 2 words that should never go together, but obviously that's a significant proportion of the homeless. Isn't that correct?
It's a little over a third here in San Diego. And, of course, our new mayor was the chair of the Veterans Committee of the Congress for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows where the bodies are buried with regard to federal funding.
Yeah.
And I expect that we're going to flatten that component of homelessness quickly.
I hope so. I just suggested, and maybe it's an outlandish idea, but look, there's a lot of land at Camp Pendleton. You know, the downtown land is a little more expensive than up there, and maybe some other military bases. But I, excuse me, I would like to see the active duty branches, you know, try to get to the table and help solve this. And maybe they are. I don't know. But
it's a good idea. One thing I've always liked about you, Joe, is that you are not afraid of outlandish ideas.
No, well, that's how things happen. You know. Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we take a break right now? We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after these long announcements. All right, we are back with another segment of It's Your Money and Your Life, and over to Richard to thank some sponsors.
Thank you to our sponsors, UBS, Mr. Michael Quaranta and Drew Freitas. Very much appreciate the folks at UBS and all the support they give our great show. Next week's guest, Sean Puckett, San Diego's most influential business banker with Regions Bank. He'll be on December 30th. Looking forward to that. Last week's guest, Don Epic, Palito Epic, CPAs up in Vista, talking about the fiscal cliff.
That was an epic program, by the way.
It was an epic program. We haven't fallen off the cliff yet, but we're getting close. Jason Kruger, dad-to-be with Signature Analytics. Of course, our favorite cost segregation experts on the planet. If you want to improve your real estate cash flow, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. San Diego's best estate planning attorney, Rich Gaines, with Family Legacy Legal. And, of course, my great friend Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited.
We thank them very much. We would not be here without them. So we appreciate their support and belief in what we do.
And you can look them up on our website at www.iymoney.com.
Right. Just click on the sponsors tab and everything is there. Their contact information and a summary of their experience and what they do professionally.
So Judge Coates, let me ask you a question, because you served on the bench and dealt with a lot of homeless people, as well as, I guess, a multitude of them, or a significant percentage of them, probably also had some mental illness issues. And, of course, given the recent news, the recent tragedy coming out of Connecticut, I don't mean to minimize, of course, what happened back in Connecticut, but do you think this country needs to do a better job with regard to, shall we say, assisting people, citizens who have mental illness?
Well, our mental health system in almost all of America is totally broken. Mm-hmm. It's shattered here in California. It's been repaired a little bit because of Proposition 63, the tax on wealthy people. We need to rebuild our mental health system, and we need to rethink it.
We had these old hospitals, though, Bob, didn't we? And there was a lot of abuse going on in there. And then one of our governors, I believe, just closed the hospitals and put all the people on the streets. So.
That was Ronald Reagan, yeah. and it was a great cost saving. They wound up spending about one-fifth on mental health care after the hospitals closed than before the hospitals closed. And we're seeing the result.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't a cost savings in the long run in terms of the cost to society and you know, all the things that go with homelessness as well as mental illness.
That's not a Republican argument. The Republican argument is that it was a cost saving. If you, anytime you cut government, it's a cost saving,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is baloney, of course.
Because I think anytime you reduce the well-being of a community, it's not a cost savings by definition, but that's just my opinion.
And not to mention,
we need a new mental health system. We need it thought through. I offered some of my thoughts in a letter to Brian Mainshine last week,
mm-hmm.
About how to reform California's mental health system.
What are some of the ideas that were contained in your letter, if you can disclose them?
Well, we have a system in the law that provides for mental health conservatorships for people who are so gravely disabled that they cannot, by a mental illness, that they cannot take care of their basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. But a person who a psychiatrist, a board-certified psychiatrist, concludes that that is true for that person, what happens is that that report then goes to a bureaucrat over at the county, and that bureaucrat decides whether that person gets to see a judge or not. And the great majority of those people never see a judge, and the judge never finds out about those people. And so hundreds and hundreds of people are out there deeply mentally ill, even after psychiatrists have concluded that many times.
Huh.
It's a scandal.
And many of those people tend to be homeless?
Of course they're homeless.
That's what I would have guessed.
There's one guy that came before me one time after he'd been homeless for 22 years, and I sent him in for the mental exams. The psychiatrist said he was gravely disabled. I notified the county bureaucrat about it. They did not schedule a hearing for him. I asked them why. They said, well, he is afraid of any food that people give him because he's so paranoid, and he will only eat out of trash cans. He lives under stairways in Mission Beach. And, I would call a guy like that to be a candidate for doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no question. Now, I know there's been some cutbacks in funding for the courts. So is that exacerbating the problem?
Well, I'm sure it must be. The poor judges, the poor courts, the poor citizens who try to get justice out of our justice system these days. The justice system is sorely, they've suffered cuts of more than 20% of their budget. Hmm. They've had to lay off many commissioners and shut courtrooms. And
double up work, increase workload.
So it's time to write the governor and say, hey, governor, okay, now we did something for education. Let's now do something for the courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you didn't practice in the probate area, but I know it wasn't that long ago that the North County Probate Department closed so that all North County estate and trust matters are now referred all the way down here to San Diego.
That's true.
Which was already the San Diego Probate Court was already way behind when this happened. And I practice in that area. I mean, you talk about trying to resolve issues with estate and trust matters. It takes years.
And justice delayed is not justice.
No, it's not.
Right, absolutely. So some of the other conclusions in your book, Bob, to help address the homeless. and I know it's housing, but, what kind of housing? What's the ideal situation or what are some good ideal solutions?
Well, there's a variety of housing. And obviously, we have many great examples right here in San Diego. We have the Rachel Women's Center that houses about 90 homeless women. And they do that in a way that gives them the mental health and social support that's necessary because I think it's almost impossible to be a homeless woman for 6 months without being mentally ill. Mm-hmm. If you're not mentally ill when you started, you're going to be mentally ill pretty soon.
And I'll bet there are some success stories, right?
Many success stories.
Yeah, people have turned it around, got back on their feet and become productive and probably even
absolutely. Yeah. A friend of mine's daughter went through that program at Rachel's and has a job and is in her own housing now.
That's great.
And has her mental illness. Her mental illness is the kind that can easily be stabilized if she'll take her medicine. Mm-hmm. And she's taking the medicine.
That's good. So, I mean, those are solutions, right? People turning it around. And
St. Vincent's is another grand example, of course. And, initially they were open to the accusation that they were just creaming off the most easy-to-handle homeless.
You're talking Father Joe?
But somebody has to handle that part of homelessness.
Yeah. You're talking Father Joe Carroll.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know previous administrations in this city have never really reached out to Father Joe. Is that right?
That's so true. We went 25 years without a mayor making a phone call to Father Joe and saying, hey, let's have breakfast. Huh. Let's talk about this.
And I know Joan Crock was...
I tried to get Dick Murphy to do that. Yeah. Dick asked me to be his advisor on homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, Dick, absolutely. So about 4 days after he took office, I called over there and I talked to his chief of staff. And I said, here's my first piece of advice. Tell Dick to pick up the phone and call Father Joe and propose a lunch or breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of staff said, why should we do that?
Huh.
He supported the other guy for mayor.
Oh, for God's
And I
sake.
Said, my gosh, Father Joe mm-hmm. is the biggest employer downtown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero all through the country for what he's done with his one-stop shop.
We're in the home stretch on Christmas Eve with our distinguished guest, Judge Robert C. Coates, and co-host Richard Muscio. You can find out more about our show on iymoney.com. And we've been talking about the homeless quite a bit. And I know another big passion for Judge Coates is climate change and global warming. And the way I met Judge Coates, I was introduced to him at a Rotary meeting in Mission Valley. And I was told it was imperative for me to meet him because I was doing a little something on climate change as far as the nonprofit goes. And we met, and he's just a fascinating guy in terms of that. How did you get involved with that passion, Bob, interest?
I was teaching law, and I went to a National Institute for Environmental and Natural Resources Law teachers in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Boulder happens to contain the National Weather Service's long-range weather prediction center. So the director of that entity came and spoke to us about global warming and the challenge of it. This was in 1982 or 3. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my goodness, you know, here we are in San Diego with the premier research institution in the world. I think we have a higher responsibility to help them communicate about this. Mm-hmm. And I know that Scripps has, as part of its mission, the dissemination of scientific knowledge to the public good.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my Rotary Club board and I said, hey, humor me. Send me over to talk to Dr. Freeman at Scripps and propose a collaboration. And so that's how the collaboration began.
Mm-hmm.
And the collaboration simply consists of us arranging venues for Scripps scientists, and then we poke a microphone in front of them and see what they might have to say.
Yeah, we poked the microphone in front of two of them.
Dan Kahan was on along with Jeff Severinghouse a couple of months ago. Right. Great show.
Yeah. Terrific guys.
By the way, their website's really is sio.ucsd.edu if you want to see some information. And I keep plugging this documentary, Chasing Ice, and there's also a TED Talks by James Balog, B-A-L-O-G, if you want to Google that. He summarizes in 20 minutes what's in the film, but pretty daunting to see the glaciers on time-lapse photography just disintegrating before your eyes.
I'll tell you something I think, Joe. This is the overarching dilemma of our age. And anybody who has half a brain that is not involved in weaving global warming and the solutions to global warming into the fabric of their life, mm-hmm. at the end of their life is going to be open to the accusation that they did not live.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it is something that affects everybody. Whatever political party you're in, whatever religion you are, we're all going to be impacted by this if we just do nothing. And I think, you know, there's obviously some awareness out there and some remedial steps, but probably, you know, not enough.
Time is short.
Yeah.
Time is very short.
Yeah, what's amazing to me, I mean, Drs. Kahan and Severinghouse predicted that the average temperature in California in about 80 years could be 8 degrees higher than it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which as an average doesn't really scare you, but that means our hottest days might be, we might have a week at a time where it's 120 degrees. And of course, the effects on young people, old people.
And the water issue.
Poor people who don't have air conditioning, the water issue. I mean, it's just so much that goes along with that, if that were to ever come to be.
Yeah.
There'll be a few breeding pairs left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be a lot of real estate anyway. I don't know how desirable it'll be. But.
Yeah, it's going to be very dry real estate, yeah.
But anyway, I you know, it's good to see more and more people are aware. And I just saw a recent poll where even among the religious, they are all accepting the science now that, you know, global warming is a problem.
My church is a Pentecostal church, the mm-hmm. Church of God in Christ, and mm-hmm. they've just adopted a very forceful resolution urging all of their 12,000 ministers worldwide to educate themselves and their congregations and get involved in this issue.
Wow, that's encouraging.
So, Joe, have you bought your new Prius yet?
You know what? Within the next 2 to 4 weeks, I will have a Prius.
Okay, yeah, because you're contributing to global warming with that car that you drive.
I understand. So, you know, I conserve in a lot of other areas.
Okay, good.
I put a brick in my jacuzzi.
There you go.
I put one in my coffee pot or whatever, my coffee maker. So, but anyway, so yeah, so you're working with Scripps quite a bit. I know your son's over there, and Rotary, you know, they're noted to be formerly a pretty conservative globally conservative thinking. But there's a lot of Rotarians now that are on board with this. Is that true?
Well, they're thinking people, and the motto of Rotary is service above self.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Turner spoke very forcefully about global warming to the International Convention of Rotary at its 100th anniversary in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in any organization, there are some people who are behind the curve.
Yeah.
But there are many people who are in front of the curve.
Well, those wildfires in 03 and 07, if those weren't wake-up calls. Now, does anyone think the next wildfire is going to be less or worse than the last one? I probably would be worse than the last one, wouldn't you think? I mean, these things don't diminish that easily, I would think. What do you think?
One of the things they've been predicting is big variety of weather. Droughts, tsunamis, storms.
More extreme.
Hurricanes.
More extreme and violent weather.
Yes.
Well, we've seen
that. We've seen that. I mean, we had, I think, 5 days of hail about a year ago, which we never used to see in San Diego ever. That's extreme weather when the ground is white in San Diego at the beach.
Mm. I was in South Africa 2 months ago, and the manager of the game reserve where we went on a safari said that he definitely sees the violent changes in weather. Mm-hmm. They had just suffered a huge storm that blew out several of the dams in his preserve.
Mm-hmm. And we're drying out. There was a great article. I hate to plug them any particular publication, but the Reader had a cover story the Thursday before the Sunday of the wildfire that hit in 07. And the title was Perfect Drought by a writer named Bill Manson. He went back into East County, you know, several, you know, 80 miles, wherever, talked to people in Boulevard. That's about, what's that, about 50 miles in? Or where is Boulevard, Richard?
It's east of, like, Alpine, and so it's out there.
Yeah.
That's my favorite bumper sticker. Where the hell is Boulevard?
Exactly.
Anyway, he interviewed the firefighters. And
it's off the main path, that's for sure.
He interviewed fire captains, and they said, you know, we used to drill down for well water about 400 feet. Now it's 800 and 1,200 feet.
But there are things people can do, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, there are... ranging from adjusting your own personal lifestyle, like you're doing with buying your Prius, to writing your congressman and making sure that we're on a path to reduce our carbon intake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, what we're up against is a gigantic multi-billion-dollar onslaught of ads telling us that burning oil is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is progress, burning oil.
Yeah.
It's absolute hogwash.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, even former CIA director James Woolsey or Woolley, I think it's Woolsey. He's on board with this. He says it's an international crisis, really. So, but anyway.
Oh my goodness, music.
Yeah. Hey, Judge.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, Judge Robert Coates.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being our guest tonight. We really appreciate having you on. And Richard, it's good seeing you again.
Year's almost over, Joe.
Yes. So, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody out there. Thank you to Justin Hart, our board operator. Thank you to Carmen Cheely, our con executive, and thank you to Dave Sniff, our program director. You have a great week and holiday season, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Beat the new year tax increase and save big bucks at all the countywide Bob Baker Auto Group dealerships. In Carlsbad, it's Bob Baker Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Bob Baker Fiat, Bob Baker Mazda, Bob Baker VW, and Bob Baker Subaru. In Lemon Grove, it's Bob Baker Toyota and Bob Baker Scion. It's the Beat the Tax Increase sale from the Bob Baker Auto Group. See all the vehicles with all the info at bobbaker.com and prepare to save.
There's one company to call for all of your electrical repairs, installations, and upgrades, Point Loma Electric. They'll fix flickering lights, tripping breakers, and add new outlets. They are the older home specialist and can fish wires behind your walls without chopping them open and making big holes. They'll protect your home and bring it into the 21st century. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So who are you going to call when the lights go out? San Diego's most trusted electrician, Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672 or pointlomaelectric.com.
We follow the story, then we lead the conversation.
I'm very proud to announce my choice for America's next Secretary of State, John Kerry.
Follow the leader. 760 K.